Well, it's been a beautiful Easter weekend. Perfect spring weather and lots of sunshine. At my house, we got into the Easter spirit by dyeing some eggs yesterday, which was more fun in theory than it was in actuality. Madeline got pretty mad when we wouldn't let her eat the eggs, and then when we wouldn't let her dump over the cups of dye. So she got frustrated and ended up crying and throwing the eggs on the floor. But it was worth it. It was worth it because this morning we woke up and enjoyed a lovely breakfast with beautiful colored eggs and the treats that the Easter Bunny left overnight. Chocolate, jelly beans, and a book and some Easter toys and a lovely stuffed bunny that Ann Gruber made for her. All of this in celebration of the rebirth of life and the fresh arrival of spring. All of this, a modern Americanized celebration of Yostra, the ancient pagan festival, named after the ancient Germanic goddess of springtime. Yostra, of course, is also the namesake of Ostara, which, as you may recall, we celebrated a few weeks ago on the spring equinox. Bunny and egg-filled spring festivals and spring celebrations far predate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they're pretty difficult to untangle now in our modern version of Easter with all of its pagan symbolism attached to the Christian story, which, of course, was not an accident. In the first few centuries of Christianity, the church yoked their festival days with the pagan holidays as a way to attract and convert more Christians. As history unfolded, these traditions blended. For me, today, this mixture kind of works. As a humanist, pagan-inspired, and Buddhist-leaning follower of Jesus, I'm in. I like it. I like when religious concepts overlap and blend and point to that which is larger than all the traditions, but present in each one. Love, truth, goodness, beauty, and hope. Hope. But there's something utterly unique about the Christian story as celebrated during Holy Week every year around this time. That invites us to go deeper into these concepts of meaning and faith and their shadow sides. It's all so complicated, so human. Holy Week, which started, of course, last Sunday with the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, led us into the heart of Jesus' ministry and the radical embrace of hospitality with the practice of foot washing and meal sharing on Maundy Thursday. And then it dramatically descends into the betrayal, denial, persecution, and murder of Jesus on Good Friday. All of this, the whole human spectrum, the good, the bad, and otherwise, all of it experienced. And then the joy of Easter morning, when Christ rises from the dead and life is renewed. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to process in a short amount of time. All those emotions condensed into one week. It's messy. It's human. Just like the world we are in today. It's hard to believe that this is the second time we've had to celebrate Easter virtually. In the last 12 months, since the last time we did this and honored Easter Sunday virtually, more Americans have died from coronavirus than did during World War II. And our nation experienced an attempted coup, an insurrection in our nation's capital. It's been a wild, heavy, complicated year. Many of the people who stormed the halls of Congress on January 6th did so, apparently, in Jesus' name. How do they make sense of that? It's a strange situation, isn't it? Made possible, perhaps because some parts of the American Christian Church have gone all in recent years on a toxic mix of American nationalism, capitalism, racism, and individual exceptionalism. These things, what we saw is such a contortion of the Christian message of loving your neighbor as yourself that I've started to refer to it all as theological malpractice, a phrase I picked up from the Reverend Dr. William Barber a couple years ago. So with all of this going on in our world, what does it mean to celebrate Easter? What does it mean to practice resurrection after an insurrection? Specifically, asks Deborah Dean Murphy in this week's issue of the Christian Century, what does it mean to practice resurrection after an insurrection that revealed, among other things, so much grievous error about the gospel's relationship to the political order and the nature of Christian witness? Further, she asks, what does it mean to practice resurrection on April 4th, 2021, the 53rd anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination? More than half a century after Dr. King imagined a new reality and invited us to eliminate racism, poverty, and militarism, just like Jesus would have done. What does it mean to practice resurrection when these things still plague us? What does it mean to be a people of resurrection, an Easter people in 2021, in our time? Once again, in a full circle, it seems, just like it was in the first century, to be a people of resurrection, to be an Easter people, is to be countercultural, to be radically and wildly committed to love and justice in an unjust, painful world, to be focused on healing and wholeness in a broken time. And the eggs and bunnies are sweet, and I enjoy that, but being an Easter people is not always easy or joyful. In all four of the Gospels, that first Easter morning was not a happy scene. Murphy says, Easter morning, for us, a celebration with flowers and finery, is, in the New Testament, a wrecked scene of dispirited disciples, women disbelieved for their wild tales, and the fearful realization that the words of this rabbi provocateur will never align with the aims of empire, will always be deemed suspicious, even seditious. That is, until they're not, until they've been smoothed over and conscripted into service of the powerful and the unjust systems from which the powerful profit, something we've seen this year. Perhaps then our job today is to take up the challenge of untangling the life, death, and resurrection of Christ from the powers of empire, to go back to that first Easter and unsanitize it, to let it be messy and hard, to remember the grief, the fear, the disbelief, and awe that the disciples experienced, and sit with that for a little bit, to remember the women who were the first true disciples of Christ, and how difficult that must have been for them in their time, to take up their challenge. In all the Gospels, the women are the ones who first experience the resurrection. In the Gospel story we heard David share with us this morning from John, for example, all the disciples go home when they discover that Jesus' body is gone, all but Mary. Mary stayed. Mary stayed there, at the scene of her grief, when all seemed lost, and she looked again, and she kept looking. She kept looking until she could see something new happening, until she could see the truth right there in front of her and be changed by it, until she could see, despite her disbelief, that the story was not over and that she was part of its unfolding. The first Easter for Mary was most certainly not flowers and finery. It was astonishing. Perhaps we can learn from Mary that Easter people stay present. They stay engaged. No matter what's going on in this crazy world, and when all seems lost, they turn and look again. They look again for signs of life and love. Easter people keep their eyes open for new life and new possibilities. Easter people stay tuned to the possibility of love transforming hate and a new world revealing itself against all odds. Of course, the poets say it better than I ever could. And as Amanda Gorman said at the inauguration of President Biden in January, during a difficult chapter in our nation's history, she said, "We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover. In every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country, our people, diverse and dutiful, will emerge battered but beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it." If we are brave, if we look again at a world in need, we can be part of a new day dawning. We can be the light of hope. Where else in your life do you need to look again through the lens of love and hope? Maybe in your personal life, there's something or someone that you want to give up on or turn away from. Maybe that person is you. Be brave. Look again. Notice signs of rebirth and renewal. Be on the lookout for transformation. Be surprised. Be open to unexpected joy. Behold love and be blessed by it, the love which passes understanding and cradles you always. Easter is a holiday of miracles, to be sure. And there are plenty of miracles to notice today. The good news that death does not have the last word, the flowers, every one, every smile, every meal, the earth itself waking up from its slumber. And so I hope you enjoy this wonderful day. Let it turn you towards renewal, rebirth, and hope. And if you're not there for some reason and you don't feel miraculous or you're not sure, that's okay too. For in the Christian calendar, Easter is not one day, but a whole season, a full 50 days leading up to Pentecost. So there's time. Be patient, trust, keep looking, look again. Pay attention. There is time enough for hope to unfold its promises. There is time for renewal. There is time for healing. There is time for us to open to love and witness resurrection. There is time for joy in its fullness. May you experience some of that abundantly today and this whole Easter season. May this be so. May we be the ones to make it so.